18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The sealing time is very short and will soon be over. Now is the time while the four angels are holding the four winds to make our calling and election sure. I was pointed down to the time when the third angel's message was closing. The power of God had rested upon his people. They had accomplished their work and prepared for the trying hour before them. They had received the latter rain, or refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and the living testimony had been revived. The last great warning had sounded everywhere and had stirred up and enraged inhabitants of the earth who would not receive the message. I saw angels hurrying to and fro in heaven. An angel with a writer's inkhorn by his side returned from the earth and reported to Jesus that his work was done, and the saints were numbered and sealed. Then I saw Jesus throw down the censer. He raised his hand and with a loud voice said, "It is done." I also saw that many do not realize that they must be in order to live in the sight of God without a high priest in the sanctuary through the time of trouble. Those who receive the seal of the living God and are protected in the time of trouble must reflect the image of Jesus fully. I saw that many were neglecting the preparation so needful and were looking to the time of refreshing and the latter rain to fit them to stand the day of the Lord and to live in the sight. Oh, how many I saw in the time of trouble without a shelter. When Jesus leaves the sanctuary, then they are holy and righteous will be holy and righteous still. For all their sins will be blotted out, and they will be sealed with the seal of the living God. But those who are unjust and filthy will be unjust and filthy still. For then there will be no priest in the sanctuary to offer their sacrifices, their confessions, and their prayers before the Father's throne. Therefore, what is done to rescue souls from the coming storm of wrath must be done before Jesus leaves the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary.
Let us pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, what a wonderful time, beloved fathers. We see earth's history and prophecies being fulfilled all around us. But let us not take these things for granted, Father, because it won't be long before all these things have been passed away, and you shall come to deliver us as your people. But Father, help us to realize that we will not be delivered if our lives are not found hidden in you, the Savior of the world. And when time has been no more, Father, we pray that we, along with those that listen to the program week after week, and our families will be saved and sanctified in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministry. We want to say a warm welcome to our regular listening audience. And this afternoon I'd like to send our condolences to Keith Carey's family, his wife and his mother and his three daughters and his brother. We'd like to just send out a heartfelt condolences. Keith was a very good friend of mine. This afternoon, our health topic will be on infidelity. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to call us at 322-6273. Or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993. Or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. Or, as most of you are aware, we have a website now at www.tpministries.org. And if you happen to be away from the Bahamas, and you still want to listen to the program, you can on www.znessbahamas.com. Now here's Marlene McKinney on infidelity.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and thank you so much for tuning in once again to another Turning Point Presents. We are more than happy to be able to come into your homes each week, each Sunday afternoon. And if you know someone who may need to tune in to hear our health column or our lessons on the Bible, and call them. Let them know that we're on the air, and let them know they need to tune in right now to 1540. Next week's topic, we're going to be dealing with indigestion. For the most part, we have quite a number of persons who are experiencing indigestion, bloating and discomfort and gas. And so we would like to deal with this topic and how we can avoid having indigestion, or what is called dyspepsia. Today, however, we're dealing with a topic that had a young man who called. He was really concerned. He seemed not to be able to get his mate pregnant, and he wanted to know what could he do to get pregnant. And the first question, of course, I asked him was, "Are you married?" And I don't know. His response was not yes or no, but from the way it sounded, it did not seem as though he was married. And my first comment to you listening audiences, this topic is for married people only. Okay, so if you know a married couple who have really been trying for a long time to have a baby, then call them and let them know that today we're going to be dealing with infertility. Infertility is usually defined as a failure to conceive after a year or more of regular sexual activity during the time of ovulation. It may also refer to the inability to carry a pregnancy to term. There are some women who, once they get pregnant, the baby aborts or the fetus aborts within a month or two, and so they never really come to full term with the pregnancy. Now, of course, this can be really devastating, especially when you are really looking forward to having that child. Many events must work together perfectly for pregnancy to occur. For men, infertility is most often the result of a low sperm count or an anatomical abnormality. And a variety of factors can result in a low sperm count. And that's what we're going to deal with for just a few seconds, including exposure to toxins. And you know, a lot of these toxins may come in the form of the foods we're eating or the air we're breathing. Excessive heat, testicular injury. Some of our young men are playing sports that are extremely dangerous, could be dangerous to our health, and we need to be very concerned about what we get ourselves involved in. Then you have the endocrine disorders, alcohol consumption. That's right, drinking alcohol can actually cause you to become infertile. Then of course we have a recent acute illness or prolonged fever and testicular mumps. And so these are the factors that would contribute to men not being able to get their mate pregnant. And then for our women, the most common causes of infertility include ovulatory failure or defect, blocked fallopian tubes, endometriosis, and uterine fibroids. And we have quite a number of Bahamian women with fibroids. It would seem that we are only eating what I'd say a lot of fat, because fibroids feed on fat. I used to have them, and many people ask, did you have them surgically removed? No, I did not. I simply cut the fat out of my diet, which was the meats and the dairy products. And eventually, with time, they went away on its own. So we don't have to go to have surgery for every problem that we have. A lot of these problems are reversible just with diet and lifestyle. Some women develop antibodies to their partner's sperm, in effect becoming allergic to them. And so this may be another factor why you may not be able to get pregnant. And then, of course, unfortunately, we have a sexually transmitted disease called chlamydia that causes many cases of infertility. And so we are really urging our young people, especially those who are not aware of the sexually transmitted diseases that are out there, to become more informed, read, and find out what it is that you're getting yourselves involved in when you think of taking on a mate, especially those of us who are unfaithful to our spouses and bringing home diseases that we can actually avoid. Then, of course, there's the psychological issue, which says that I'm stressed, or there's a fear of becoming a parent. Sometimes this can also contribute to infertility. In the event that there may be a lack of nutrients, what you may need to do is add these supplements to your diet. We have the selenium, the vitamin C, the vitamin E, and the zinc, which are all important for the functioning of the reproductive organs. And you can purchase any of these, of course, at the local health food stores. Then, of course, there's the essential fatty acids, which we have spoken of so often, found in the flaxseed, the omega-3 fatty acids, which are essential for our health and for reproduction. And so if you'd like, you can try and get some of the flaxseed in capsule form, or you can get it in the seed, and then you can have them grind it up and put it on your cereals in the morning. Then what else? There are some natural herbs out there that actually help to boost and enhance sexual function for men and for women. One that will be for both would be the Damiana. And Damiana is an excellent herb for enhancing the sexual functions in men. And it also helps with women who, after having children, the elasticity that is lost in certain areas, you know, we can actually help it to return. to some form and tightness that we would need to have to enhance our sexual activities. Then, of course, the ginseng, very, very effective. The sarsaparilla, the saw palmetto, the S-A-W palmetto. The saw palmetto is very, very good. As a matter of fact, it's also good for fighting prostate cancer or prostate problems. The saw palmetto has been proven to really, really be very effective. Then too, what else would we need to do? What are some of the other recommendations I often make or share with persons? Avoid all alcohol. All alcohol. You cannot take some. Some people say, well, how about moderately? Is there any such thing as a moderate toxin? I don't know about you, but I don't see anything clever about taking in moderately those things which we know are harming our systems. So alcohol reduces the sperm count in men. That's right. And can prevent implantation of the fertilized egg in women. Then, do not take any drugs except those which have been prescribed by your physician. And I like to often say, if you know that you're about to take on any of what we are sharing with you, you should check with your physician. Find out from him or her if this is something that they think you need to be doing to enhance the possibility of your becoming pregnant. Do not smoke. Avoid secondhand smoke, being around persons who smoke. Try and get these things out of your system. Then, of course, very important, a balanced diet. Do not consume animal fats, fried foods, sugar, or junk foods. And the thing is, with going back to the topic of prostate problems, we know that prostate cancer in men is usually as a result of a high-fat diet. That contributes to our problem. So men, if you're out there and you're listening, get rid of the fatty foods, the fried fatty meats and those that are baked, get rid of them. Even the dairy products, very high in fat. Get rid of those foods. We don't need them in our diet. What we need to do is try to find foods that are healthy, that will fill us up and will energize us for the rest of the day. There are pumpkin seeds. The pumpkin seeds are probably number one for fighting prostate. And I'm talking today about infertility, but in talking about that, I'm dealing with some aspects of infertility in regards to prostate problems. Because persons who have experienced prostate problems usually find that they cannot become pregnant. They cannot make their mate pregnant. So the pumpkin seeds, just a handful of pumpkin seeds per day, men. That's all you need. Handful of pumpkin seeds per day will help you to build up the prostate. Then, of course, infertility is stressful. But what we need to do to reduce the stress in our lives. I tell you, the first technique I would like to share with you is that of walking. Get out in the fresh air and you walk for 20 to 30 minutes every day. And I promise you, you're going to not only feel better, the stress level will reduce dramatically. This is probably number one for reducing stress. And if you don't have time, I don't know why you wouldn't have time, but we need to make time. Make time for yourself. Take time for yourself in the mornings. First thing in the morning is the best time, or late in the evening. With all the crime going on, I don't know if anybody really wants to go out late in the evening. But take some time and walk. And this will really help you. Of course, too, the vitamin B complex is very good for relaxing you and helping you to feel more in control. And so if you'd like, you could probably take that supplement as well. Then, a deficiency of selenium has been proven to lead to infertility in men and women, or sterility in men and infertility in women. Then, of course, more women are waiting to bear children in later reproductive years. And however, a woman's fertility begins to decrease as she ages, especially after she reaches the age of 30. So we need to make sure that if you're going to have children, I wouldn't say rush and have them, but at the very least, try to have them very early in your marriage. Caffeine consumption. I remember sharing with you a few months ago how caffeine consumption may actually prevent some women from becoming pregnant and causes infertility in men as well. So get off the caffeine. That would be foods like the chocolate candy bars and the chocolate cakes, decaffeinated beverages like Lipton teas and all the other teas that are loaded in caffeine. Then you have the sodas. There are many of the sodas on the market that are loaded in caffeine, and caffeine is toxic. Not only toxic to your not being able to become pregnant, but it's toxic to your health, and we need to get rid of it. Then finally, a woman who suffers from premenstrual symptoms such as bloating and the breast tenderness is probably ovulating, and so if she is having difficulty becoming pregnant, the cause probably lies elsewhere. It could be the mate who is having the problem. So maybe we want to check with our doctors, make certain that we're covering every ground, Julian. And Julian is just having a thrill with this topic today on infertility. I told him last week we were going to cover infertility, and he laughed. I told him this was a topic that was on my mind, and I felt it the need to share with our people, the Bahamian people, how we can become pregnant and how we can take that baby to full term. But not only do you want to become pregnant, but you want a healthy baby. So taking on a very good diet, you know, and you know the thing is, I had a student who maybe even listening, who I think was trying to become pregnant initially when she came to our class, vegetarian cooking, and you know, today she is pregnant. Getting off of the meats and the dairy products simply cleanses your system. And you know what happens? It leaves you susceptible to becoming pregnant. So you want to get a baby? Call us today. Enjoy the rest of this program and have a pleasant afternoon.
Thank you very much, Marlene, and good afternoon, Brother Paul.
Good afternoon, Brother Julian. Good afternoon, Bahamas.
Brother Paul, as we take on this subject again of the ceiling, could you first, before we get into it, could you give us an update, please?
Yes, thank you. Last week, we began to share with the nation that we are now living in the ceiling hour, according to Revelation chapter 7, verse 1 to 4. And the reason why we believe that we are living in the ceiling hour is because in Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 to 17, we mentioned that four of those events mentioned there have already taken place. And those events were the great earthquake that happened on November 1st, 1755, the dark day, which was in May 19, 1780, when the day the sun became dark, and that night the moon appeared as blood. And then on November 13, 1833, stars actually fell from heaven. So they began to share the nation last week, and we'll continue this week. We hope that as we go at the end of the study, we'll see the importance of being prepared to receive the seal of the living God.
This week, again, like I said earlier, we are talking about the seal of God. But what I want to first ask you is, does the governments of this earth and rulers of this earth have signs and seals?
Yes, they do. And I hope as we begin to go to the nation with this topic today, they'll see exactly that it is true that governments, and also not even governments, but even officials and people that have different businesses have seals that they put on documents. And like today, these seals are still being used, but God himself has the seal that we really want, which is the seal of the living God.
Is there any place in the Bible where we can begin to do our search on earthly signs and seals?
Yes, there is. In Daniel chapter 6, it talks a lot about this. In Daniel chapter 6, beginning at verse 1 to 3, it said, "And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which shall be over the whole kingdom, and over the three presidents, on whom Daniel was the first, that the prince might give an account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because of his excellent spirit was found in him. And the king taught to set him over the whole realm of his kingdom. Because of Daniel's attitude towards his lifestyle, the king decided to make Daniel first of all the three princes, presidents, sorry, that he chose that day."
When Daniel was chosen by Darius as his chief president, did the other presidents happy or upset at this event?
No, it did not sit well with them. According to Daniel chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, the other president says, "The presidents and the princes sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find no occasion nor fault in Daniel, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in Daniel. Then they said to themselves, 'These men, we shall only find an occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him in the law of his God.'" Isn't that good news? That they tried to find a fault with our brother Daniel, but they couldn't find any, because he's standing solid on the Lord Jesus Christ, the unmovable rock.
Was this the only thing they did against Daniel, or was there anything else?
No, they went on, and according to the same chapter, verse 6 and 7, it said that these princes and these presidents assembled themselves to the king and said thus to the king Darius, "Live forever. And all these presidents and kings and governors and princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask any petition of any god or man for 30 days, save to the king, O king, he should be cast into the den of lions." So what these men did, they conspired together. that they would have a law put together that if anyone should do anything contrary to the king or go contrary to what the king ordered and command, they should be dealt with. And as we go on, we'll see exactly how the story unfolds.
Did King Darius agree with their plan or pass such a law, I should say?
Yes, he did. According to verses 8 and 9 of the same chapter, Daniel chapter 6, "Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writings, that it may be unchanged, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which alter it not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writings and the decree." So we see here where King Darius was more than strict into signing the document, not knowing what the outcome would be, but he went along with it anyway, just to satisfy the desires of the people. Even here today in the Bahamas and around the world, the same things are being happening, where government leaders are more or less forced into signing documents and decrees, not realizing the outcome sometimes, most times, be not pleasing to the eyesight of God.
After Daniel found out that this law was passed, did he change any of his habits?
No, not according to verses 10 of Daniel chapter 6. He did not change anything. The Bible says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writings were signed, he went into his house, and he opened his windows in his chamber towards Jerusalem, and he knelt down and prayed 3 times a day like he always did, and gave thanks to God for what he had did in aforetime." Isn't that good news? That after the decree was signed, and Daniel knew what the outcome would have been, he still prays the God of heaven, and shouldn't we do the same today?
Since we see that the Bible tells us that Daniel did not change any of his habits, did anything happen to him because he went against the king?
Yes, it did. According to verse 11 and verses 12 and 13, the Bible says, "Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying, making supplications before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Had thou not signed a decree, king, that every man should not ask any petition of any god or man within 30 days, save to the king? O king, and if anyone should do this, they should be cast into the den of lions." Then the king answered, "Yes, the thing is true. I did sign a decree according to the Medes and the Persians, which shall not be altered." Then answered they and said unto the king, "But that Daniel, which is the children of the captive of Judah, regarded not thee, king. He went against the decree without a sign, and make his petition 3 times a day to his God."
After the king saw what he had done, and that he would have to put Daniel in the lion's den, what did he do?
It did not sit well with the king. According to verses 14 of Daniel 6, the Bible says, "And the king, when he had heard these words, was sorry to so displeased with himself, and set his heart to deliver Daniel from what he had did. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. But based on what he assigned, it appears as if the king had no way out to do what he had to do."
But what should the king should have done? What should he have done?
The king should have followed the commandments of God. But he decided to follow the command that he himself was tricked into signing. And because of this, he had to go along with the decree that he himself had signed along with the other princes and captains of his time.
After noticing that the kings were reluctant, what did the other presidents do?
According to verses 15, "Then these men assembled unto the king and said to the king, O king, the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statutes which the king established should be changed." And the same thing is happening today when you think about the death penalty. Right now in the Bahamas, the governments of the day did not put the death penalty into effect. They came on stream and made it in effect. And right now today, people are calling for the government to either carry out the law or do away the law. And now more or less the government back is being pushed against the walls, you may say, because people want blood, because someone else is taking someone else's blood. But you know, in our previous programs, we said, if you want to take someone's life because they have taken someone else's life, then let the same thing be for adultery, children being disobedient to parents, or whatever sin the Bible says is forbidden, even breaking the Sabbath. The Bible said you should break the Sabbath, you should also be stoned. And here today we are only focusing on one law, that has been the life of some brother or sister is taken by the hands of someone else's.
Right here we see that both the earthly power and heavenly power seem to come in contention. Who should we believe or who should we follow?
According to Daniel chapter 6 verse 16, it should always be God. "Then the king commanded that they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God whom thou servest continuously, he should deliver thee." Isn't that good news? The king realized that this God of Daniel had been real. And then the Bible says a stone was brought and laid them out of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with a sign of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. So the king had to take out the decree, and he signed it and he sealed it with his signet. And the same thing happens today when you receive a document from the government. It's signed the seal with our Prime Minister, Mr. Perry Christie. His name, his territory, and his position is stamped on that seal like it was in the day of King Darius.
After King Darius realized that he had to send Daniel to the lion's den, how did this make him feel?
It did not make him feel well. According to verses 18 to 20, the Bible says, then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were any instruments of music brought into him. And then sleep even went away from him, ladies and gentlemen. And the king rose very early in the morning and went haste to the dens of lions. And the Bible says, when he came to the den, he cried with a lamented or a loud voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continuously able to deliver thee from the lion's den? Isn't that a good king? And maybe the day when you and I are taken to our lion's den in our day, we too will know that whom our God served will deliver us, because he is a God of deliverance.
Was Daniel delivered?
According to verse 21 and 22, yes, he was. Then said Daniel to the king, O king, live forever. First it was the kings and it was the prophets and the other men crying, O king, live forever. Now it is this time Daniel, who should have been destroyed, saying, O king, live forever. My God hath sent the angels and hath shut the lion's mouth, that they will not hurt me, for as much as before in him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have not had no hurt. Isn't that good news? That God shed the lion, the angels from heaven, to shut the lion's mouth. And the same thing happened for us today. If a young man should pull a gun on us, for some reason the Lord will make the chamber of the gun be jammed, so the bullet would not leave the chamber, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord still is in the miracle-working business. And if he did it for Daniel, surely he would do it for you and I in the day in which we live.
When King Darius found out that the God of heaven had delivered Daniel, what was his reaction?
According to verse 22 of Daniel chapter 6, then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they did not take Daniel up, that they should take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found in him, because he believed in his God. And I say amen.
What else did King Darius do?
He didn't stop there. According to verse 24, the king commanded that they be brought, that those men be brought who came accusing Daniel, and it was cast in, and they should be cast into the lion's den. And not only were they cast into the lion's den, but also their children and their wives was also cast into the lion's den. And the Bible says their bones were breaking, and they were eaten up by those lions. Isn't that good news? That Daniel's enemies were destroyed by the God of heaven.
What did God do for Daniel after all this had happened?
Then the king came with these words, written from the courts of heaven, because no human man would do what this happened, only God intervened. According to verse 25 and 28, the Bible says, then the king Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and language that dwelleth on the earth, peace be multiplied unto you, and make a decree that every dominion of my kingdom of men should tremble before the fear of God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he steadfasteth forever his kingdom, that it should not be destroyed, and his dominion should be even unto the end. And he delivered and rescued it, and he will sign with signs and wonders in heaven and earth, who delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel purposed in his heart, and reigned for Darius, and reigned over to Cyrus and the Persians. And isn't that good news, ladies and gentlemen, that God stepped in at the right time and delivered Daniel and put him in the position where he is in until his death.
Last question. What do we need to receive the seal of God?
What we need right now, ladies and gentlemen, is to cry out for the Holy Ghost power, because it's the Holy Ghost that is going to lead and guide you into all truth. And without this power, you and I would be nobody.
Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank thee once again, O Lord, for another opportunity and privilege. Lord, we ask that you would open up our eyes, that we may be able to discern between what is of God and what is of man. Give us that power and the strength, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
If this program continues to be a blessing, you continue to tell a family or friend or somebody. Until when all is said and done, we pray that this program continue to be a blessing to you and all around the world. Until next week, may the peace of God be with you and your family. This is Paul Miller.
And this is Julie Miller. May God richly bless you and your family.